Chris and Guy from the Extremely Casual Gamers podcast. We're a casual gaming podcast for the everyday gamer.
We chat everything gaming from PlayStation to Xbox to Nintendo to PC, but not like full-on stuff, like super chill stuff, casual stuff, like, oh, if you had to date a video game character, who would you date?
Even if you're just gaming on your mobile, we want to hang out with you. And we've got awesome giveaways for you to win.
Join us every Thursday for a brand new episode. Just search Extremely Casual Gamers wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Frank podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Wellington Paranormal, the podcast with you,
Karen O'Leary,
and me,
Mike Minogue.
Yeah, man, good time. So to put everybody into the frame here, we watched the movie over the weekend that you and I were both going to the premiere of. Now, yes. I say premiere, it already had its world premiere in Taranaki.
Yeah.
And looked amazing. And then it went to Wellington, eh?
Don't know.
It did. It was in Wellington the night.
Why didn't they ask
a couple
to go
of
to
nights
one
before.
The Auckland one?
Don't know. Don't know. But you should have said.
Yeah, I should have said.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad.
But
I
it's great because yeah, we're up here
nice.
Doing all this, yeah. and then yeah, the Auckland one, great theatre.
Oh, Sylvia Park, that mall.
Well, the mall is absolutely horrific. Yeah. It's hell on earth. I despise those sorts of places. One of the things I really didn't enjoy was how poorly signposted it was. You didn't know where anything was at all. So I found that annoying.
They do that on purpose at malls, though, so you get lost
get
in
lost.
There forever.
Yeah, I didn't like it. And I just don't like the kinds of shops and things. And while I like the size of the screen at Sylvia Park.
Is it quite a big one?
It's a very, very dark projection. Very dark. So that, when we were watching it, I was like, this is not what the filmmakers want you to see, because it's got a real, it's just not lit. It wasn't popping off the screen.
Right.
Which you could tell it was meant to. But apparently, and I'm not saying that this is true of Sylvia Park, but apparently because things are so tight in cinema at the moment, they haven't
replaced some of their light bulbs.
They don't have all of the lights operating, all of the light bulbs for those
Who
screens.
Told you that?
Somebody very much in the know. And so, yeah, so they conserve
power.
Yeah, conserve power and therefore expense. But what it means is that the
viewer's not getting the full experience.
That's right, which is a shame. And I said to somebody there, related, I said, well, that's great because it just means that, you know, it'll look its best on your TV or iPhone,
yeah,
which is how the filmmakers really want you to see it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
Fantastic film.
I thought it was a little bit wobbly at the start, but then when one of the characters turned up, Bronco.
Yeah.
Found its feet.
Legend.
Found its feet when Bronco turned up, and then everything else sort of worked as well. Absolutely loved it. I cried twice in that.
I cried it more than twice.
Yeah, I had other moments as well. What were your moments? I can say certainly obviously the end.
The end, yeah.
Then there was before that when they, I can just say they saw some glowworms.
Yep.
In there. And then there were other sort of periods where it was just sort of hitting me more of because of the cultural element. And it wasn't necessarily that anything was happening. It was more,
Yeah, well, I think, like, for me, like, it was sometimes it was like I would cry because I was feeling so proud of them, you know? Like, it was a good kind of a.
Yeah, so good on them, you know? Maybe it was that. Thing. And because of the cultural stuff, and I think the stuff that's happening in New Zealand, when you see a film like that, which is not banging you on the head, over the head at all, it's not, and it's, I want to be clear about that. Like, a lot of these, a lot of films can be really. I don't know, trying to explain things to you or hitting you over the head with sort of culture or whatever. This was just a film about some characters.
And it existed perfectly well, but it wasn't,
Yeah, and what I really liked about it, so you got three kids there, one who is very grounded in his culture and is finds strength in that.
Yeah.
And then you've got another character who is part Māori and part European but doesn't have contact with the Māori side of her whakapapa.
Yep.
And so is trying to explore that without having any other sort of generation above her to connect her to it. And then you've got a Pākehā kid who's got absolutely no idea whatsoever and is completely ignorant. But over the course of the film, as a result of being immersed, becomes more knowledgeable and a better person and enriched as a result of sharing those relationships with other people.
That was very well put, Mike.
And but that's the point, right? And this is the thing. It's not. It's never going to be being around other cultures is never going to make another culture poorer. That's not possible.
That's right.
It makes everybody better. And I just thought they did an incredible job. There's going to be comparisons with Hunt for the Wilder People. And from my point of view, this packed a far more, this hit a far, struck a far deeper chord with me and was a lot, I was a lot more emotional in it. And I think, there was a lot of laughs in it. And I think you could do, take your family to this, take your kids to this movie. It's phenomenal. And I think maybe it was more emotional because it was beautifully directed and written and everything, but I think also because it was kids relating to kids as opposed to kids relating to an adult, like it was in Hunt for the Wilder People. Bloody loved it.
Go see it at the cinema. Go to one that's got all the lights on,
though. Yeah, turn all the lights on. Say, are you going to turn all the lights on?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And probably the person making your popcorn doesn't know. Do you know about the drinks that we got that somebody very kindly brought us?
Yeah.
So she brought us six drinks.
Yeah.
Oh, she brought a... The round was six drinks. Yeah. How much would you say? And these were vodka sodas.
You couldn't really taste the soda, though, could you? Just a sip of Joel's one.
How much do you think one of those cost? Oh, how much? Yeah. How much do you think that round of six drinks would cost at a movie cinema?
$60.
$180.
What?
$180.
No.
Yeah, for six drinks in New Zealand.
Shivers, sorry, Desiree.
Shiver me timbers. It's pricey.
Well, also the fact that because we bought some popcorn as well because I didn't realise it was that other bit that you went into where they had the free food.
Yeah. 700 bags of chips.
Yeah.
Huge congratulations to the director Rachel House and producer Desiree Armstrong and Cathy Neal and all the cast and everybody that worked on it. They made that in 4 weeks.
Did they?
They made that in 4 weeks, and they made it with the I don't want to say approval, but with the blessing of 8 different iwi. Like a huge amount of work that goes into that, but I think the result of that, it's a real treat. So get along to that. Opens on March the 28th, which means you might be hearing this in 6 months.
Which means we hope that you went to it.
but find it wherever you can find it. Now, talking to Kath McGuire today.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. Trying to remember all of the different things I've worked on with her. Worked on with her. But I can't really. I don't know. She'll probably have a better memory for it.
She probably will.
Yeah, well, let's find out, shall we?
Oh, yeah, let's get her in here.
Boom. Welcome along, Kath McGuire.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Bloody good. How are you?
Bloody good as well.
All the better for seeing you, obviously.
Yes, and vice versa.
Makeup and hair designer?
Yes.
Or supervisor? There's different.
Designer.
Yeah, good on you.
Co-designer with Michelle Perry.
Yes.
I came in at the end of season 2. Frankie Carina did season 1.
Yeah.
And season 2, established it all. I came in at the end of season 2 because she was leaving for another job.
What job was she going to?
Rouge. Oh, look, it might have been one of your avatars or something big.
Yeah.
One of our avatars. No, we were in there.
No, that wouldn't have been the right. I don't know. Something else.
She was off.
Something else.
She was off. And so brought in me. Yeah, and I finished off season two.
Yeah.
Most of
which
episodes.
Is also 2 and 3, eh? So it was 13 eps that run.
Oh.
And it had the, what did it have? It had the Christmas special.
Yeah. So the Christmas special, that was my first day on set.
Right.
The old magic photocopier that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
Swallowing people up. Then we finished that off at the Tower Mall with Josh as the Satan, yes. Which was hilarious. Finished off the one with you as the copy cops in the spa at the
Lower Hutt Motor Camp.
Covered with the
leeches. Snail slugs.
And then came back, started afresh for season three, which was the second half of season two, as you just pointed out.
Yeah.
But it was a break, so it was like season three.
Yeah, bloody good. But when did you start on when did you start getting into film?
Where
are you from, Kath?
So I'm from Christchurch. Origin story. So I was living in Christchurch, just living the life, and I read an article in the Women's Weekly about a makeup artist called Linda
Women's
Stewart.
Weekly is often inspiring people to new lives.
Now and then.
Yes.
So I read an article about Lenore Stewart, who is still around, not working, but a Christchurch makeup artist. She actually worked on Lord of the Rings. I met her in real life. And I thought, oh, I don't want to do that. That's a great job. I was in my early 20s. So I did a course, happened to be one in Christchurch. That was probably about 1997. Moved to Auckland in 1998, lived here for a couple of years, and then got a job on Lord of the Rings and moved to Wellington in the end of 1999 and Been there ever since,
25 year ago.
That's yes. Amazing.
How
it's
about
quite
that?
Crazy considering I'm only in my mid-30s.
Yeah, I know. It never moves. What was that like then, the Lord of the Rings experience? Because that was my first film job, but I sort of got on it. I was a runner, very much a runner, for many years following. But it was, I think it was Pickups for Return of the King, so I was doing miniatures, Paths of the Dead, and the Lava Unit.
The Pickups for Return of the King were about 6 months long.
Yeah, they were their own shoot. They were. It was ages, man. Yeah.
I was actually living overseas at that time, and Nancy Henner rang me up or emailed me and said, do you want to come and work on the Pickups for Return of the King? I said, I'm living in Dublin. And she went, well, how about, you know, we'll give you a car and accommodation. I was like, I'll be on the next plane.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was cool. But, yeah, no, it was amazing, Lord of the Rings. I learnt more on that show than I did in my course. And I've learnt more on that than I did on any job since, to be honest.
Well, that's an intensive, 4 years probably?
Yeah, off and on, yeah. But the main shoot, I think, was 18 months maybe or over a year. It's pretty full on. So it was awesome. It was amazing.
When you were doing Lord of the Rings, what was your main role in terms of the makeup stuff that you were doing?
So I was in the background and stunts, really. So it's a lot of background, the soldiers, Gondorian soldiers. You got your Gondorian soldiers. You got your Rohan soldiers. You got your city
hobbitses.
Folk.
There was some hobbitses there.
Some hobbits. There was definitely some hobbits. There was some other sort of like refugee type people.
Would that be true then that as you start out as a makeup human, that you would start on characters that are further away from the camera, and then as you get better
really
and better, that would be right though, right? And then you get closer and closer. The characters will get closer and closer to the camera.
I guess that's one way of looking at it. And really,
is it the wrong
way
to look at it?
Possibly. I mean, on a big film, I guess, you would maybe start in background, but then you might start as an assistant on the main team and you might just be kind of, I don't know, helping the designer do things or helping one of the makeup artists with their hands or, it all depends. But I started in the background world for sure. And that was a great learning experience because you're working on 10 to 15 people each morning if you've got a scene with 300 extras.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're looking after one person, then you just got that.
One person.
Yeah. Which is great, but you don't get the experience of lots of different faces and shapes and
Skin types.
Skin types, hair types. That's where I learned all of my wig skills, wigs, facial hair. So that was, we had an amazing wig person called Peter Owen who came over for that, who made all the wigs, and his business partner at the time, Peter King, and they both kind of designed it. And what I learned on that job was invaluable and still used today. So,
what are the wigs made out of?
Hair, funnily enough.
Real people's hair.
Real people's hair. So ideally you'd want, they like European hair. They used to Russian.
Racist.
Well, it's finer.
Right.
And better. It's like,
oh. I mean, scratch that. It is finer, and you can colour it.
Right.
If it's lighter, yeah. You can sort of go darker. It's hard when you bleach hair; it goes coarser. So, yeah. not as common to find today, especially naturally grey. Long naturally grey hair, very difficult to find. But yeah, so it's made out
is
of
is it
hair.
Because more old people have short hair than long hair?
Yeah,
or even
probably
ladies. Women.
Yeah,
ladies. Who am I? Mike Minogue.
Evening, ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Or maybe they colour it more these days, you know, because you want virgin hair, which has not been coloured, ideally.
Ever.
Right.
Ever.
Wow. Yeah,
which is pretty hard to find.
Well, if that's the case, then if you're finding a few feet of grey hair that's virgin, what are you paying for that virgin hair?
Well, me personally, nothing, because I don't make wigs.
And you mean the hair's virgin, all right, not the person who grew it?
The hair. Yeah. The person.
So, like, could I sell this bit at the front of my hair?
No.
Why not?
It's not Russian.
I think we all know the answer to that. Yeah, but if you're out there and you've got a few feet of long grey hair, ring up a wig maker.
Is it worth a few bob though?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not going to retire on it. Maybe a few hundred, I don't know.
Really?
I don't make wigs, yeah. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, yeah, right, okay. Sweet. And then also being on rings, it must have been the intense nature of it must have been great as well, because it's also like, it was huge hours. Huge hours.
It was huge hours, but also I was in my 20s, so I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when we went away, you know, we got put up in hotels and motels. I was having the time of my bloody
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. Per diems.
Per diems?
Yeah.
Shit. You know, I was only paying $50 a week rent in my flat in Ara Valley, or $60. Yeah. So I don't know what happened to all that money, but
I do.
Did
I
not
do.
Invest it into property, let me
no,
tell you.
No, that's right. Yeah, I've got a fair idea what happened to it.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, they were good times, weren't they?
It was good times.
The weekends were busy, but it was 5-6 days and.
Yeah. We had 13 units at one stage on Lord of the Rings.
13 makeup units.
13, you know how you might have, you know, second unit.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
We
yes.
had 13. Because you got second unit, then we had horse unit, you got like ooh. River unit, stunt unit, miniatures.
Yeah.
That was just one small time. But there was one time I was getting like, it was just me from the makeup department. We had a massive makeup department, probably yeah. about 25. Me and then Bill Hunt from Prosthetics getting choppered into Skipper's Canyon to make up an Arwen double and a Frodo. He was like putting the feet on a Frodo mannequin of sorts. And that was us for the day. Then they'd get on a horse and kind of skip over the river back and forth for that scene. And that was it, get choppered back.
Too easy.
And it was great.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. But you must learn a lot when you've got sort of those intense days, like you're saying, you're doing 10 or 12 or 15 people in a day. That's
yeah,
huge.
It's awesome. Working with these amazing wigs. Those wigs were worth, you know, anywhere from $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 each. And so we got a really great training on how to treat them with respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And treat them properly, and that's I'm really grateful for that, because I'm like that today with wigs. Yeah.
Bloody are you like that with your own hair as well? Do you treat that carefully?
Well, what do you think?
Obviously. Forgot what you were like.
No, I don't.
And then, so, and what were the jobs after that one? I guess they were coming thick and fast for a while.
Yeah, so I did a couple of years in Auckland before that. I did a bit of Shorty Street, did a bit of sort of like ringing up people and cold calling, and there was no real sort of email back then. You sort of just had to ring up people and go, "Hi, my name's Kath McGuire, and I've just done a course and I've just moved to Auckland, and can you please give me a job?"
Yeah.
So I got a bit of that, moved to Wellington. After Lord of the Rings, I suppose it was, did a bit of Cloud Nine, the old tribe and whatnot.
Yeah.
Worked on King Kong, Peter Jackson's King Kong. Probably worked on all of Peter's films, actually, since Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Lovely Bones, did a teeny bit of the first Avatar. Just the films that, you know, come to Wellington.
Yeah. There's been a few.
It's been quite a few.
And how does the day then look for you? A lot of early mornings.
A lot of early mornings, yep. But we all have, you know, it's not just us. I think there's the costume and unit and transport. Everyone's there, really.
No, well, I mean, we did
you guys as well.
Time Bandits.
Yeah.
Didn't we? And that's right. That's an early start to the day. But that must have been because we had prosthetics. But
yes.
But you're there for that. Everyone has to be there at the absolute crack of dawn, and particularly when there are any kind of prosthetics at all, like on Lord of the Rings and pretty much everything that gets made now. So your days are. It's not conducive to a healthy family life, is it? She's a big ass.
Yeah, certainly not. Luckily, I don't do prosthetics, so but we still had early starts. But those are the ones that have the brutal 4 a.m.s. I mean, I've had some 4 a.m. starts. But no, there's no work-life balance.
No.
You have to sort of just kiss goodbye to your family at the start of the job and say, see you in a wee while.
Yeah. And it is like it's meant to be, you know, glamorous, but it's pretty devoid of glamour.
I don't know if it's meant to, where did the public perception come from? Yeah, the public perception. Yeah, not glamorous at all.
No.
No.
And bloody hard yards, but it's either all on or all off, right? So you do a job for 3 years or 3 months or whatever it is, and it's full on, but then you get time off.
Then you go, oh, shit, I'm so bloody tired. I really need a break, but, oh, my God, how am I going to pay my mortgage? Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm going to get another job.
Exactly. It's been all that money. I don't know where it's gone.
Yeah. I know, exactly.
Have you noticed that as a change? Because I remember when I started, it was like, man, if you're working in the film industry, it's good money. And it seems like we're still getting paid exactly the same 20 years later.
Yeah, that's right. So when I started on Lord of the Rings, the rate that I was on, I was just like, I was like a Rockefeller. I was like,
Yeah.
Now I'm like, how come my rate's only like a teeny bit more than that?
Yeah.
But yet.
You're not paying $50 for your Arrow Valley flat anymore, are you?
Yeah.
No, exactly. It hasn't gone up.
And it hasn't really gone up.
Yeah.
I mean, it has, but not enough.
Not the right amount.
Not the right amount.
20 years enough. No, it used to be one of the best paid sort of industries you could get into.
Yeah.
But now it's,
and I think now the reason you feel screwed. Like. If you put your timesheet in, you go, oh, that's a pretty good one. But then you realise you've done 70 hours and that's why.
That's right. That's right.
That's not because.
So you can put it in an hourly rate. Like, under living wage.
I remember, saying to my dad, oh, you know, I'll be on course for 100 grand this year. And he was like, oh, well, it took me 25 years to get up to 100 grand. It was like, yeah, but I'm doing 80 hours a week. It's 50 grand.
I'm just working. That's right.
Yeah. And so, and then. You sort of got more and more into the Wellington stuff. What are the jobs that you remember the most? And well, actually, a better question might be, how important is the team side of it?
The team is like 99% of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the same with anything. It's the people. This job of working in film sometimes is just so brutal that if it wasn't for the people, you'd be like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, if it was the wrong people, you'd be like, no, thank you.
Yeah, but film seems to attract good people, I find. You know, most of them, you got your odd sort of asshole, but not really.
Yeah.
I'll text you.
No, just say it now. We'll cut it out, AJ. but I guess you must, like, it must be, you know, because you're obviously dealing pretty closely with people.
Yeah.
There must be some people that are just harder to get along with. Then you just kind of ignore them.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose the thing with that is I always think, sometimes you do a makeup and then you think, who's the actor here? Because I just spent the last hour pretending that I like you.
Yes. Yeah. And having to do it day after day.
Yeah. I've never really had an actor that I really dislike, but sometimes they're a bit tricky. And the hard part for me is that you just have to sort of reserve your personality. You have to hold back your personality because it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's about getting them into the character.
Mm.
So it's great when you can have an actor like you guys where you can have a laugh and be yourself in the mornings, because quite often you can't do that. And that's fair enough. It's not about me having a laugh with the person. It's about them getting into the right zone to get onto set to be the character they need to be.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we wanted to have a laugh with you, because it helped us get to character.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, get onto set and not crack up. But I think in terms of not of your team and or not having dickheads in film, it's more that they sort of weed themselves out.
They do.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
Nah.
And, we had a great team in Wellington Paranormal. The Wellington makeup artists, there's not that many of us. We're all pretty, like, getting on now. I think they're all over 50. You might be not many assistants coming through. It's like, come on, guys, where are the young ones?
Yeah, are there not
Why
many?
Why do you think that is?
I think
you can answer
they're probably
either of those questions.
Figuring
both at the same time.
Out that film's not that well paid or great and quite hard work. And actually they'd rather just sort of do a little TikTok video about how to do something and monetize it that way, I think. That's what it seems to be from the people I know who teach the courses, that they're not they're not really sort of that into film.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's because there's different – those sort of things weren't around, of course, when I was there. You either did film or you did fashion, which is no money in fashion, or you went and worked at a counter maybe like the Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Which is still a good way to start. But, yeah, film doesn't seem
Bobby
to be
Brown
as popular.
The singer?
No. there's a makeup brand called Bobby Brown. Confusing.
That is very confusing.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
That was a good question that Potty Jake asked, which is you did a video game.
Yep.
Yeah, and how does that work?
So it was one of the first ones, I think, that used motion capture for the video game. Yep. And so you've seen those. Have you ever been in a motion capture suit?
I was not in a suit, but I was working with some guys last week and they were in them.
They were in them.
Oh, Luke Hawker and
So I don't know if I think they still do this. So they have the suit with the markers and then they have the helmet with the camera.
Yeah.
And you need markers on the face. And so essentially they get a form made of their face, which is like a hard plastic. And it gets holes drilled in it at certain points, which is like the muscles. And essentially, I mean, it's pretty mundane.
You're sticking a Vivid in there.
You're sticking a wee Vivid in there. It's a special kind of a paint. Thank you very much, actually. Not everyone can do it.
Yeah, obviously not.
It's actually one of the most tedious, boring jobs you can do.
Yeah, right.
It's quite good money. And you get to hang out at what's the one that's in Portsmouth Road that it used to be there, but somewhere, quite nice. They usually got quite good facilities.
Yeah.
That's where I was.
But once you've done them, you sit there on standby, but there's nothing much to do because it sticks. And unless they sort of blow their nose or have something to eat or drink, you're sort of just.
Yeah.
Waiting for the end of the day.
I was in there last week and it was a real reminder of what a fantastic place that is. You know, it's like the coffee machine.
The facilities are top notch.
The facilities
the
are
snacks,
good.
The snacks, the drinks,
the
lunches. Yeah. I mean,
filling
it's
up
flash.
Your bags.
Yeah.
It's like being here at Frank.
It is. We've got water in the tap. But it gets a bit cloudy. Yeah.
It's kind of like the place where you go, well, you know, Park Road Post, where you go to the toilet and you go, shit, this is flasher than my lounge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. It's bloody good.
Just the toilet, yes.
Yeah, and so that motion capture stuff is what was used to film Avatar and the Tintin movie.
Yeah, so I've done it a few times. Tintin, yep. I did some stuff on Tintin, did some little bit of stuff on Avatar, did that video. Yeah, a few of us have done it from time to time, and it comes up. But you know, I'm not listen out there. If you're about to offer me a job to do some motion capture, I'm not necessarily going to say no. Unless there's something better happening.
Yeah.
But it is
quite good money, ironically.
That's the thing. So it's that balance, isn't it, of getting the good money versus actually having a bit of fulfillment in the work that you're doing.
Yeah. That's kind of what I like to do the big jobs because they sort of get you a bit of money. And then I like to do the fun jobs.
Yeah.
Because they give you a bit of fun.
They give you a bit of fun.
Yeah, totally. And what's the career path? So what would be, if I started in hair and makeup, is the pathway to sort of from the start up to where you are now? And are there different sort of areas? Because I guess you can specialise, right? There's more the makeup side of it and more the hair side of it. You have to be good at everything.
Well, New Zealand, we do hair and makeup.
Yeah.
It's only America that splits it. The UK and Australia, they do hair and makeup as well. But sometimes on a big film, they will split it, but mostly it's together. It's what's separate more is the prosthetic side of it.
Yeah.
And then the hair and makeup side of it. So I'm hair and makeup. I don't really do prosthetics. I do little ones. But not big creature, orky, like what you guys had on Time Bandits. Yeah. That sounded like it wasn't that fun, actually, Mike. Your little the setup
the,
you had.
The setup.
I like the. I'm fine with the makeup and all of that. Carry on. It was the rig.
The rig seemed like
it was problematic.
Yeah,
basically had Mike's whole entire weight on my head.
Yeah, that's right.
And his penis at the back of it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
While I was leaning at a 45-degree crane in my back. Yeah. So if there is a season two and we are a part of it, certainly hoping for some improvements.
Yeah.
Some improvements there. But, yeah, tricky thing because it's like, I don't know how many of those characters have been made before.
No, it was
so
a bit of
be
a
easy.
No, it was a bit of a first time for that, wasn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, yeah. So I just do hair and makeup. So and that's what I like doing.
When you were like with Paranormal, when we had like the zombies and stuff like that. That's
did do some zombies, didn't we? So yeah, how we divided it is we had Don Brooker, of course, amazing. Yes. Don and Jess in the creature and prosthetics department, and then we would hair and makeup. So with the cops, you guys were all quite simple for hair and makeup, yep. Like in and out, 20 minutes, get them done. And then the fun stuff was all the walk-in cast we had, the guest
so
cast for each season.
Yeah.
I mean, hair and makeup-wise, not really.
Oh, okay, not much of a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember when we were going to do that ageing on you guys
yes.
for the time travel one?
Oh,
and
yeah.
We did that really successful ageing test with you with the makeup.
That's right.
Because I hate it when directors say they want to age because it just does you have to have so much money and do the whole thing with prosthetics. Unless you're aging like 5 years or 10 years, you can do it with a stretch and pull. But we tried to do – Paul was like, just give it a go, see what you can do. And we remember me and Michelle spent some time with you in the makeup room and put – I think we just did a bit of this.
Yeah.
And we tried – and it was like – in the end it was like, oh, we've given you like – put at least 3 years on you.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, and then ultimately I think they just said – nah, we're not
they just
do
scrapped
that.
The whole because then I think they were going to VFX it. Then that was going to cost like
$175,000
or something.
That was Time Cops,
so. Yeah. Then they're like, maybe we'll just rewrite it. I was like, yeah, why don't you just rewrite that one, guys?
Write some new words. That'll cost you what? $20.
Yeah, exactly.
Aging just does not work unless you've got a shitload of money.
Yeah.
And a shitload of very skilled people with prosthetics. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was, cost prohibitive, wasn't it, with Paranormal? There wasn't all the money in the world. And especially when you're doing that many different things, like every single week is something different.
Yeah.
What are the other memorable Wellington Paranormal eps?
Well, I like the Fear Factory because we had some we had some good people come in. We had the bride, the Frankenstein bride, or the zombie bride.
And the ghoul guy.
And the zombies were pretty cool. Out that was the Time Cops episode. Was it?
Yeah, they
because
it was a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Didn't actually get to see them as closely as we would have liked for how much time we spent on them, but that's life.
Because do you get a shot list? Is there such a thing, or they sort of?
We don't. Get
I don't
a
think
shot
they would,
list.
Right? No, they wouldn't do it for TV. Especially
well, sometimes
that kind of that style of shooting, which was more documentary.
You know, if we did, Tim would be the most likely to give a shot list. He's quite organised in
Tim
that way.
Van Damme.
But I don't expect one. We just work off the script.
Yeah.
Who is the least organised?
Director.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't have to say.
No, I think they're all pretty organised, actually, in their own way. They all know what they want.
In their own way.
Yeah,
that's not great. In their own way.
Yeah. In different ways. Yeah, they all know what they want. And actually, one of the funnest ones was that one on the cult. The one Jackie's one.
Yeah.
What was that one called?
Wicked Man?
Oh, Wicked Man.
Yeah.
We had those classic ones who played the twins, and she had people wouldn't realize how much work went into that. She actually, that wasn't her hair; that was a wig, and then she had this plaited piece that sort of came around there. So it was all pretend, but it looked really good.
Yeah.
And also, my my partner got a lovely wig in that episode. Remember
that?
Yes,
she did. Yes, she did. You weren't a fan of that.
No, not personally, no.
For her, but for the character.
But it was interesting because some of the people that were working in the makeup team were like, when she had the wig on, were like, oh, you're actually really pretty. And I was like, I don't know if that's a great thing to say to a lesbian. If only you grew your hair a bit longer.
Yes, exactly.
You
look so much more feminine now.
It wasn't you that said it, so that's all right.
Doubt it. I wouldn't say that.
No, I know you wouldn't.
Sounds like a day player. Yeah. Gee whiz.
Yep.
And any others? What others? I'm trying to think of the...
Well, makeup-wise, those... every episode. Oh, the one where we had to do, everyone got scared, we had to do the white bits in their hair. That was pretty fun. We had to do quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Fear Factory, actually.
Fear Factory
was a good episode. Yeah. That had a lot of fun things. mean, it was a long time ago, guys.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And what are you rolling on now? What job are you on at the moment?
So I'm working on a feature film here in Auckland, yes. directed by someone you might know, Taika Waititi.
Yes.
Heard of him.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, that's good. Pretty hectic. Pretty
good
busy.
Cast on it.
Great cast.
Hell of a cast.
Hell of a cast. Lovely Look cast. Out for that. Lovely cast.
Yes.
Lovely cast. Fantastic team. Great crew. Busy, hectic job.
Amy Adams, have I got that right?
Yes. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. You know,
no, it's all been released.
Is it?
Yeah. Jenna Ortega.
Yes.
Would that be right?
Correct.
I've heard wonderful, wonderful things about Jesse Griffin, who plays Scarecrow.
Yes.
Might have to be about Scarecrow, but let's just say Jesse Griffin's in it. I've heard it from many, many people that he's extremely funny.
Extremely funny. What a guy. Love him.
He is great.
Yes. So he's great. Yeah, it's good. It's a great cast. There's a few others. I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but I'll tell you after.
Yeah, okay. Good. Yeah, there's some good rumours around. Yeah, well, that'll be good. I'm interested to see how that comes out because the source material is good.
By all accounts.
Yeah, but pretty... I think it'll be a pretty tense sort of a shoot, is it? I mean, intense, not necessarily tent.
Sometimes we're sitting in a tent. Yeah, it's pretty bloody busy, that's for sure. Hectic.
Yeah. How many weeks shoot?
Must be 9.
Getting close. Are you getting close?
Getting close. Got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Then we've got Easter. Then we've got like 2 and a bit more weeks. So it's very much near the end.
Yeah, beauty.
And then you go say hello to your family again.
Go and reintroduce myself to my family. So I was also away for 3 months at the end of last year down in Queenstown, so I feel like I haven't been home for months.
Was it Under the Vines?
It was.
Oh, beauty.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was good. It's that's a lovely nice job.
That's nice. A Queenstown job's a nice job, isn't it?
Yeah. Queenstown job's great. And also we go to Clyde for 6 weeks
right.
in the middle. So that's nice. The old Central Otago.
Yeah.
Lovely weather.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Flowers, bloody scenery.
Fruit. It's got fruit.
Fruit. That's Cromwell's got big fruit thing. Yeah. And it's a lovely job. It's the opposite of this job because it's sort of easy.
Yeah. And it is. What are the ones that you're most proud of? Because obviously you do the big ones.
Mm.
I sort of found, you know, when I was younger, it was like, oh, it's great and it's exciting and everything, and you're pretty amazed. Well, I got to work on that. And I guess, you know, when you have films like Rings and Avatar that's breaking all the records and stuff, then that's pretty awesome. But the smaller stuff must be the Kiwi stuff.
Oh, definitely. I worked on a film called Reunion, which I think it got great reviews.
Emma Draper.
Yes, Emma Draper.
We were talking about it the other day.
Julia Ormond, yeah.
Yeah. When we filmed, you might not have been on by then, but we filmed Ghost, what was it? Cop, the Mount Vic Hooters.
Emma Draper. Oh.
We filmed Mount Vic Mount Vic Hooters.
Oh, yeah, so I came
and
in halfway.
The interior of that police building was that building where you guys filmed
Reunion.
Yes.
In town.
Yeah, and
that house.
Beautiful grand old house.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
A house. So I was the designer and also the makeup artist and the assistant. It was just me.
Yeah. You were the team.
I was the team. I think I had an additional on for maybe 2 days to help. It was Julia Ormond, it was Emma, and then we had Cohen Holloway as well who came in. So it was really only about 3 casts, maybe 1 or 2, which would give me a draw in for like half a day. But it was full-on job, and I was really proud of how it looked. It looked really fantastic. Bit of a strange film. Really good film, like a thriller, psychological thriller, then it turns into like, not sure what's happening here, but that was really busy, but we did a really good job. And I was really happy with how the makeup looked. It was great. Another one was Cousins. So there's a few things in that when I watch it that just go, oh God, if I only just had a bit more money and a bit more time.
Right.
But I mean, there was 3 of us in that team. It was 72 cast over like 4 decades. It was so busy.
Wow.
But I just feel like we did the best job we possibly could have done for them. The budget was basically nil.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that I feel like we really pulled that together to look halfway decent for what what we had and what we could do. Yeah. I nearly gave myself a stroke on that job. It was just, I just cared about it so much and I really wanted it to look good. And it was a bit heartbreaking that I just thought I couldn't make it look as good as I could have with a bit more time and money. But
what kind of things do you look at and think, oh, that could have looked better?
Well, like I don't want everyone to go straight noticed. To the film and look at this because then everyone will be able to see it too. But things like wigs that you can't afford a good wig, so you have to have a slightly cheaper right. wig, and the wig yep. line, the prosthetics that we couldn't afford to get made by Weta. So Lucy Bell actually made the prosthetics yep. herself right. for that, which is pretty cool. Because we did have to age people. That was one where yes, it yeah. was like, like they couldn't get the actors that they wanted to play the older women. Like we had to have like children, then in their 20s and then like in their 60s yep. getting actors, you know, to have that sort of that line, the thing that makes you recognise the character but not make it too obvious, like she always wears a red bow in her hair, you know. So, but that sort of thing. So the thread that runs through the character that's like makes it familiar but without being too cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was challenging, very challenging, but I was proud of what we did for what we had.
Yeah. Did you do Bad Behaviour?
I did.
Yeah, how was that?
That was great. That was another bloody hard job, actually, because Wellington is brutal for location shooting,
yeah,
especially in winter. Yeah. That was winter. It was all location. It was all, like, in forests and hills, exposed. The wind was, like, unbelievable.
It doesn't sound like Wellington.
Yeah.
The Wellington I know.
So sorry. Yeah. Anyway. It was unusual. There was one set where you had to, it was like a 25-minute walk uphill just to get to the set, so you had to carry everything on your back. It was just, but it was good. It was, yeah. I enjoyed it.
That was Jennifer Connelly.
That was Jennifer Connelly.
Anna Scottney. Ben
yes.
Wishaw. Is that his name? Ben.
Yes, yep, yes, sorry, sure. yes. Oh, he's lovely. And also Alice, the director.
Is it Alice
Englert? Englert, yeah. Yep. So she directed it and she was in it as well. She played the daughter.
She's Jane Campion's Dylan. Daughter.
Correct.
Yes.
So that was definitely a tough shoot location-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes after a job like that, you're like, just put me in the bloody studio for yeah. a job.
Give me back to Avalon.
Give me back to bloody Avalon. I'll sit yeah. in my wee stool and watch the wee monitor. Thanks very much. But then after being stuck in a studio, then you go, oh, God, I'd love a wee location
yeah.
job.
Yeah.
But the location jobs like down in Queenstown are good because you're outside, it's beautiful scenery, it's not windy, the weather's lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the coldest I've ever been is on a Wellington Paranormal night shoot.
Yeah.
Was that when we were doing? Was that when we were doing to Maido?
Well, that was cold, but this was an alleyway somewhere in Nino or something.
Yeah,
you
that
guys
was
were
time
doing
cops.
A stunt down there.
Oh no, that's the Invisible Friend.
It was
fiend.
The Invisible oh. Fiend.
Yeah,
you were getting
oh, yes,
pulled
right.
along
yeah.
on
yeah.
a something.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right. Yeah,
and
honestly, yeah, yeah,
it was
cold.
It was
yes.
so cold.
I remember that too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And Mike never had proper socks. There's always a few grumbles about the old socks and
the
shoes.
Socks, yeah. Well, I think I had steel caps or something, and then the steel would get freezing
yes,
cold, and then
yes.
my toes would
of course.
Those were very cold shoes.
Yeah, they yeah. were very cold shoes.
And I think we got good socks on season 4.
We did.
So, you know,
the budget increased.
People always give us those blinking hand warmer things that should never work.
And like, actually, that's one thing for season 5 we have to work on, getting my what's it called?
Yes.
Stuck down.
Just glued down, nailed into my shoulder is one thing. Because we still do like some MC gigs now and again or whatever it is that we might do and I stick it on and fucking straight away it goes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I've got to fix your belt.
she is. She's always digging in there.
We'll have to get someone from costume
into my belt.
At some stage so we can have a right go at them.
But, exactly. Yeah. Just yeah. rake them
obviously
over the
coals. Obviously we've got no complaints about the makeup.
No,
I mean, it's
no,
always been amazing. It's just that hairdo.
The old helmet.
It was, yeah. But there were some good jokes that came out of that because I walked straight out of there and went and saw Paul Yates in his office. And he goes, he just sort of looked at me and cocked his head to the side and he goes, you look like old elf. What did you say? You look like old Superman. And then I had lunch with Jeanette McDonald and she walked in. You know, she bustled her way in there, her handbag in her arm. She looked at me and she said, What's going on with your hair? I said, oh, I'm doing a show. She says, well, you look like an out of work lounge singer.
Actually, that's quite accurate.
Yeah, that's true.
Out of work, though, eh?
Yeah,
not a lounge singer. A terrible one. Yeah. You wouldn't even have a job. Well, bloody nice to have a yarn to you. Look at that, 40 minutes. Boom.
Shit.
Just like that.
Time flies when you're in class.
I know how to crunch the time. Yeah. Got to get these people on set.
Bam, bam. And we'll see you hopefully next year for season 5, eh?
Yeah, hopefully.
It feels like it might be. And in fact, we've got to get in touch with Paul Yates, don't we? Because he had a meeting the other day.
Did he?
Mm.
He did. With Jermaine.
I had a meeting with him.
Yeah, no, but he texted us.
But that wasn't really a meeting. That was just catching up for a beer.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was chatting with Jermaine, I think, on Friday. So there was going to be some news. So
should we ring him now? Put him on the speakerphone.
Yeah, put him on. Yeah. Put him on the spot.
She's wanting to book in.
Just wondering.
Yeah, we're going to lock her in for next year.
That's right. If you want me to work on.
She's very busy, so
we're going to lock it in. Good job.
Bloody beauty.
Lovely to see you, guys. Thank you so much for coming in.
My absolute pleasure.
Well, that was bloody lovely, wasn't it?
Fantastic.
Eh?
Yes.
Wasn't that nice?
I think it's very good to get a bit of, you know, behind the scenes information, knowledge, stuff that people maybe don't always think about. I know that I didn't used to think about it at all.
Not at all.
No.
No, but here we are.
Think about it all the time now.
Exactly. Bloody good. Well, it's nice to have that's our first crew member.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah. So we'll have more of that. Jolly good. Jolly good. Thanks to composers Monica, Paul Yates and Jermaine Clement for letting this happen. You can follow Wellington Paranormal Podcast on our socials. Instagram is at Wellington Paranormal Podcast. TikTok is at Wellington Paranormal Pod. YouTube is at Wellington Paranormal the Podcast. Yes.
I've just got a question.
Kia ora.
Couldn't you just like do this bit once and you use it all over every single time?
Well, you can, but people love it when it's live.
Oh, right. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. So they wouldn't have heard that interaction. Yeah. That's what makes it fresh.
Okay, carry on.
Karen is on Instagram at Karen O'Leary NZ. I am at Mr. Mike Minogue on Instagram, and my radio show is at Hauraki Big Show. This podcast is recorded at Frank Studios in Ponsonby, Tamaki Makaurau. If you'd like to rent the studio, Canberra, get in touch with me on my email at mike@frankmanagement.nz and Wellington Paranormal the See? That's why they listen. Wellington Paranormal the podcast is also brought to you by BTB Speakers, the corporate speakers company that brings the guests you hear on the highly popular New Zealand podcast Between Two Beers to your event as MCs or speakers. You can choose from well-known champions like Kieran Reid, Raylan Castle, Lee Hard and Hayley Holt, to the low-key legends like Dave Wood, Dave Latili, Mia Mutu, Chelsea Lane, and a whole lot more. If you've been blown away by any of the stories you've heard on their podcast, you can now share that inspiration with those you work with, or you might just want a funny bugger like Karen O'Leary for your awards night. No matter what you need, B2B can help you out, and they're adding new guests every week. Check us out at b2bspeakers.co.nz and let our guests make your night.
Lovely.
That was good, eh?
Yeah, that was really beautiful. Okay.
See you next week.
See ya.
Frank Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Think you know how to party? Well, science does. In fact, there are nerds out there that spend their whole lives researching the ins and outs of sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
But don't take this nerd's word for it. In the Party Science Podcast, we break down the research behind a good time and a great time.
I'm Dr. Joel Rindelob, a real-life scientific researcher.
And I'm comedian Courtney Dawson, a real-life party girl.
And together, we talk to world experts in psychedelics.
Look at topics like the physiology of squirting and show you how science parties harder than you thought possible.
Stay tuned every Wednesday for a new episode scientifically proven to rock your dome.